Hey guys, it's Damian from Marketing Food Online. We're back. I've got another informative episode to help you develop your food product and get it to market. So this specific episode, I'm actually going to go over and explain what a food distributor is and whether or not they're actually going to be beneficial for you to take advantage of if you are just starting out. What exactly is a food distributor and what they can do for you? So let's get started and get the podcast underway. All right. So what is a food distributor? To make it super simple, a food distributor basically brings together, warehouses a very large quantity of a variety of food products, and then they will distribute it to either supermarkets, restaurants, hotels, different types of businesses that would utilize their product lines. And of course, food distributors can offer a mixture of food products and food supplies, such as storage containers and stuff like that. So some of them, some of the larger ones, Sysco, they'll actually do is they'll offer not only ingredients for like restaurants, but they'll offer in some cases containers or packaging or even some restaurant equipment as well. But predominantly they are food distributors and they stick to that. So a food distributor can be beneficial if you are looking to expand your reach. As far as the logistics of bringing your products to grocery stores or supermarkets, or even if you have a food product that can actually be used for restaurants, even as an ingredient or even a dessert, a line of desserts, let's say, that a restaurant can take advantage of and serve the desserts to their customers, that would be something that a food distributor could store, they would inventory, and then they would offer that as a product available to the different types of venues. It could even be hospitality like hotels. Hotels utilize food distributors, restaurants, food chains, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're just starting out, the only thing I would say, in my own opinion, being around the food business as long as I have, if you're a very small food producer, if you're not mass producing a product, I would probably stay away from a food distributor at first. Get yourself onto maybe a website, get yourself onto an eBay, get yourself onto an Amazon, maybe even create a buzz locally and get into some of the mom and pops, you know, the smaller independent grocery chains, as opposed to a national one, and then build up kind of a rapport with them locally, build up your brand on a small scale before you step into the realm of food distributors, only because when it comes to producing the quantities needed to handle food distributors' orders, larger orders, you're not going to be able to produce them at a price point that would be really beneficial for you or even the distributor itself, because you have to understand that when you can produce thousands and thousands of units, what happens, of course, when you get to be a larger company, your ingredient costs go down because you can start to buy in bulk and you can negotiate larger quantities of ingredients. When you're a small food producer, if you're just doing it out of a very small commercial kitchen, or maybe you just started your own commercial kitchen, but you're not used to or familiar with producing large quantities of your product, a food distributor may not be beneficial for you because, you know, if they come to you and say, look, I need 10 or 15,000 units of this item, are you going to be able to produce it? And of course, produce it at a price where the distributor is going to have a little bit of a window for them to make money too, because you got to keep in mind they're in the business to make money. And if you're producing a product that is priced as far as the bulk pricing or wholesale pricing to the distributor in order for them to sell it then to a restaurant, if that price point is not beneficial for the food distributor as far as their margins are concerned, they're not going to be interested in your product. So when you're starting out a food business and it's kind of a low key, it's a new thing, it's not going to be beneficial for you to step into that arena just yet. But I always recommend, even if you're just getting your feet wet and you're starting locally, even if you have a little kitchen in your home and you're doing it through the cottage food laws and you're selling it locally, educate yourself and learn about food distributors. Find out about the ones in your area. Go to Google and just type in, you know, food distributors and find out more about them. Educate yourself as well. because the ultimate vision, the ultimate goal for you is obviously not to stay small. You want to grow your business. So in the meantime, while you're drumming up local business and your business is small, there's nothing wrong with at least having that vision in your head that, you know what, down the road, I want to maybe get my products on a national rollout, getting into a food distributor who can get it regionally in like maybe the southeast part of the United States. It could be like 10 or 12 states. Maybe it's a food distributor who's national. There's also food distributors that are actually international that ship globally. And that is a huge opportunity for you to grow into. So there's nothing wrong with, in the meantime, you know, fine-tuning yourself locally and doing it on a small level and then stepping into the arena of food distributors. Now, there's a few things you need to understand about food distributors is that, for number one, they service certain areas of the country, okay? There's enormous amounts of food distributors that are only in the Southeast. There's many who are in regionally as far as even half of the state. Half of the states in the United States. Some of them roll out nationally, and they serve every state, okay? Some of them are even international in the sense that maybe they serve Canada, the U.S., and South America only. So every food distributor is a bit different as far as who they service. Now, there's also something to keep in mind is the food service business, which is a food distributor that handles food service such as hotels, cafeterias, hospitals. You actually have the potential to maybe not necessarily sell a product. Let's say you have an idea for a salsa, okay, and you have a great ingredient listing, you got a great recipe, it's easy to make, but it's very flavorful. There are a lot of food service clients and customers that will end up buying like 5, 10, 15, 20 gallon drums of products, okay? This is something that's totally different than just selling maybe on Amazon or just selling locally, but there's also a huge, huge industry. And when I say huge, the amount of money that is transacted is enormous when it comes to hospitals and cafeterias. Then there's the public school systems, there's colleges and universities. You got to understand that all of these types of venues have some form of food preparation or people that they're feeding, okay? So even if you come down with a concept or an idea for a season mix, a blend of seasonings that can be used on a large mass scale, that's another type of business that you can potentially get into. So I, on this podcast, I want to open everyone's eyes to the variety and the different types of industries that are out there for food products. It's not just the idea of, hey, you know what? I make a great cookie and I sell them directly on eBay to a customer. That's great. But there's a lot of other ways. There's even convenience stores. There's if you can produce a product to fulfill orders for convenience stores, they are one of the largest segments of food consumption in the country, to be honest with you. Some of these convenience stores have tens of thousands of locations, and they all have to have snacks, cookies, candies, chocolate bars, and you can eat, you know, get your way into a rollout regionally for like a Circle K or 7-Eleven. So just keep in mind that there's a lot of different ways that you can create a food product and market it towards whatever industry you could come up with, and there's just enormous amounts of opportunity out there. Grocery stores, selling it on your own, local mom and pop grocery stores, which are just, maybe 5 or 6 stores that are run by a family. Or there's a national rollout. You can go, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but if you're familiar with Kroger supermarkets, they actually have, I think it's 35 or 40 different brand of supermarkets that fall under the umbrella of the Kroger company, which means that there are enormous amounts of grocery stores that Kroger owns that are actually under different names. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but there's just so much opportunity out there for food products. So don't limit your idea or your vision. Don't limit it to just being local, but it's a great place to start. Okay. So another aspect of the food distributor. Okay. So how do I price my product to sell to a food distributor? And then in turn, they're going to take that and of course, sell that to another end user. You know, like I said before, it could be a restaurant or it could be a hospital of some kind. So you got to understand that your pricing is much different when you deal with a distributor, okay? So let me give you some examples. When you open an e-commerce store and you're online, okay, and let's say you're on eBay and you're selling a product, and it's a nut mix that you've got, some type of nut mix, and you're selling it by the pound, and you sell it individually to a customer. They order it, then you fill the order, and then you get paid through PayPal or what have you. Okay, now that is probably the highest margin you're going to make when you're dealing with selling a food product. When you can minimize the amount of people that stand between you and your customer, you're going to make more money. Okay, that's kind of a common sense thing. A lot of people may not realize that, but it's kind of just a common sense thing. The more people you have between you and your customer, the less you are going to make. If you can minimize that as much as possible, you're going to have a larger profit margin. Okay, it's just that's how it is. Now, when you sell on an eBay platform, okay, or you're on an Amazon or Etsy or whatever it may be, of course, they are going to take a cut of that transaction, okay? It's kind of minimal. Of course, eBay, it's a percentage, and it varies, and it's if you do a buy it now price, it's a set price and not an auction price. There's a handful of factors that come into play, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty reasonable amount of profit you're going to make, and you're leveraging a website that has built-in clientele, has built-in customers. Real quick example, if you're on eBay and you sell a product and you're brand new to eBay and you're trying to you post a product up, you optimize it and you sell it, you've got millions of customers who shop on eBay already, okay? If you're selling it locally, if you're starting locally and you're going to the farmer's market, on a good day, you may have an interaction of a couple hundred people maybe a couple thousand if you're lucky. But on eBay, you have millions and millions of customers literally every day, day in and day out, buying stuff, okay? And there's also millions of customers that go on there for food products, believe it or not, specifically. That's a great way to make a good margin. Now, bring into the equation a food distributor, okay? So they're going to do the logistics, all right? They're going to take your product. They're going to inventory it. Now, right off the bat, you have to understand, they're going to request hundreds and hundreds of units. They don't deal in, you know, give me 24 pieces, 30 pieces. That's not how a food distributor works. They're going to order 20 or 30 cases, and those cases are going to have about 24 units, okay? So in order to deal with a distributor, you need to produce thousands of units at a relatively cheap price, because honestly, if you broke it down per unit, your margin is going to be very small, to be quite frank with you. It just is, per unit. So really how you make your money is you're going to make money on that whole transaction. If it's a pallet and it's got like 50 cases and there's 12 items, 12 units in each case, now you're talking around 600 units, okay? Now that transaction of 600 units, you can make your profit on. You need to make a margin, obviously. Now they're going to take that and they're going to warehouse it. They're going to do the logistics. Then they're going to promote it. They're going to say, hey, they're going to send out a newsletter to all the restaurants. Hey, I got this brand new product, a new vendor, and we have it in stock. And they're going to push it and promote it. So there's a lot of effort on their part. So now they have to have a margin. They have to have a window somewhere between that price point that they sell it to the restaurant that they're going to have to make a profit on as well. So what that means is you've got between you and the restaurant, let's say, between the two of you, you've got this distributor. Back to what I was saying before. So you have someone standing between you and the restaurant, so they're going to take their cut. So you're going to take less, okay? Now, it's a good side and a bad side to it. Now, obviously, the kind of bad side, I guess you want to say, is that the margin per unit overall is going to be less than it would be if you sold it directly to a customer, just you and the customer, okay? But the good side is, like, let's say those 600 units of mixed nuts actually just went to a grocery store. Now you have 600 potential customers who could transact, who could buy each bag of your snack, right? Or your food product, whatever it is. Now you've got 600 potential customers who are going to go to your website because they just bought your item at the local grocery store. Now that's a good thing because that's going to generate sales to your website, right? So there's two sides to it. You know, you can either take a little less, you could take a smaller cut up front, but the potential is greater in the end because you're going to have more customers buying your products, right? It's going to be potentially, it might even be in 20 other stores. So your 600 units broken up and the grocery store buys it and then they distribute it throughout 10 or 15 stores. So now you're kind of in like, you could be potentially in 10 or 15 states at the same time with your product. Okay, so that's just one of the benefits of doing it. Of course, the downside, like I said, it could just be a little smaller of a profit up front. So in the most basic terms, that is what a food distributor is. That's what they do. And that's what they can do for you, okay? So the trick to it is if you have the capacity to produce a product at a really, really low cost, a food distributor would be great for you to take advantage of and to at least approach and to find out if it's the right fit for you. If you're starting small and you can't produce it for the price point you need to be, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Give it time, because over time your company will grow, you'll grow, your business will grow. Then you can get those ingredients cheaper because you're going to buy them by a truckload, and now you can produce something way cheaper. So a food distributor is good and bad. It just depends on where you are with your business, okay, and what your needs are, okay? So let me get the last part of what I want to talk about with the food distributor without getting just too drawn on about it. Just want to keep it super simple. I've covered how they work as far as distribution, okay? It could be regional, it could be kind of within a state, it could be national, it could be international. The types of people they sell to, restaurants, universities, hospitality, you name it, hotels. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is that each distributor is different in what they distribute, actually, and not to sound redundant, but some of them specialize in like seafood, meat, poultry, and stuff like that. So they're not going to be the ones you want to approach if you've got, you know, a salsa that you're manufacturing, okay? So be aware of that the whoever you approach, no matter what it is, as far as the food distributor, they have a line of products and they relatively stick to that line. They don't really step outside of it. But not every distributor is the same, okay? They're not going to distribute the same type of products. Sometimes they're within a certain category, okay? They may even just be cereals and crackers and cookies because that's what they do. So if you make a cereal, cracker, or cookie, well, you need to approach a distributor who, you know, distributes that type of product. So do keep that other aspect in mind, that they don't all ship the same products. They don't carry the same, because it also comes down to the type of facility. You know, if you're distributing seafood and meat and stuff, obviously a facility was probably all refrigeration, and it's a much bigger endeavor. Okay, if you're doing shelf stable items like cereals and nuts and things, you know, your warehouse will be set up differently. So just keep that in mind. Every distributor is a different type of a company. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close this podcast out. I don't want to ramble on too long. I like to keep them short and sweet and just full of resources for you. So if you guys also, if you're new to my podcast or my YouTube channel, which you can also find Marketing Food Online, go to the search box on YouTube and type in Marketing Food Online and my channel will pop up. We've got over 250 videos on there for you to check out. And let me see, what else do I got for you? If you also need some consulting, if you want to work one-on-one with me, if you have a product that you're trying to get underway, or maybe you're just starting from home, I do have assorted consulting packages based on your budget. And I try to keep them budget friendly because I know the challenges of starting a food business and having the extra money available. So I don't charge outlandish fees to help you get your product up and running. And so far I've worked with, we've worked with almost three dozen, about 34, 35 companies so far through our YouTube channel. So check us out there. And again, thank you guys for tuning in to the podcast. I hope my podcast was informative. And if it was, please give me some positive feedback. I always appreciate that. And again, if you have any questions that, you know, you want to touch base with me about, if you have to figure out this or that, I'm always available at marketingfoodonline@yahoo.com. And feel free to hit me up with a question or comment or something there, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and I will see you guys on my next podcast.